And good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. I need to make a little correction here. Brussels sprouts, very good for adults, especially if they're sautéed.
They're a vile weed.
No. Very good. You're limiting your culinary choices.
I love broccoli. Does that count?
You're suppressing the green side of you.
It is the one thing I will not force my children to eat.
Yes, well, I hated them until I was probably 25. So, it's been 70 years since the boats invaded the beach at Normandy to fight one of the bloodiest battles the world has ever seen. However, not everyone who went ashore that day was armed. And I'm glad to see some attention being paid over at the Huffington Post to Lieutenant Colonel George Russell Barber of the U.S. Air Force. He was one of the last surviving D-Day chaplains when he died in 2004. He was the only member of his craft who landed without a weapon to protect himself because he was there with a different mission. He was there to provide spiritual support to wounded and dying men. He told Mark Ellis before his death, I talked to as many as I could and prayed with them. I said, trust in God. And he said many soldiers died in front of him. He recited from John chapter 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He wasn't the only chaplain at Normandy that day, but he was the only one on his particular boat who went ashore unarmed. We have a number of outstanding photos that you can see over at AveMariaRadio.net in our featured articles section. So I think I was moved by them, and that's the reason we put them in there. These are truly heroic men, and military chaplains do not get, you know, the attention that they deserve. I love it because they are there for a different purpose, and we just had Memorial Day in which we thanked God for the great sacrificial service of so many of our servicemen. But I thought in remembering D-Day, it'd be good to also remember the chaplains of Normandy 70 years later. All right. I mentioned this in the first hour, but I'm so outraged by it, I need to mention it again. It's the very definition of absurdity that the networks covered the death of Harambe, the magnificent gorilla, six times more than the deaths of the 21 Coptic Christians who were beheaded in Libya by ISIS. This points out what I keep trying to get across about media and media literacy. It is never about the stories that are most important. The stories that you're treated to on the network newscasts and the cable newscasts are never the stories that somebody gauges are the most important. Doesn't mean they won't cover important things. They do. But that's not the criteria. How important was this? The primary criteria are, does it grab your attention? Do we have video for it? And does it make, when people see it, will they say, wow, gee whiz? Will they emote over it? And here we have a good example of that. Nobody, if you sat down with them over dinner and asked, choose between these two stories, which do you think was the most important? For everybody's going to choose the deaths of the 21 Coptic Christians who were beheaded by ISIS. Everybody would say, that's a vastly more important story. But not for network news. For them, the death of the 17-year-old silverback gorilla Harambe was vastly more important, six times more important than the death of those Christians at the hands of ISIS. All right, what else do we have here? As I mentioned that last hour, I did not mention here, new saint credited with healing a young boy with a brain tumor. I bring this one up because it's new. I mean, this is new material for us. A Swedish-born Lutheran who converted to the Catholic faith, Blessed Mary Elizabeth Hesselblad, is going to be canonized. Now, Nick mentioned this in the news segment, but when the young boy, Carlos Miguel, was 2 years old, he began suffering from headaches, vomiting, insomnia, other problems. They diagnosed the presence of a tumor in the child's cerebellum. Two surgeries did not bring about any substantial improvements in Carlos' condition. In fact, there were some neurological complications from the surgeries themselves, which crippled him. The overall prognosis, very unfavorable. He suffered for months, continual transfers from one hospital to another. I mean, they wanted to solve the problems. The problems kept getting worse. The woman who was the mother, Paula, who was then superior of the Brigittines in Havana, had been invoking Blessed Mary Elizabeth and hoping that she would respond or intercede with her over Carlos Miguel's health condition. And so, again, prayer continued on. And the Bishop of Santa Clara assisted the family in finding adequate medical care for the boy. But on July 18th of 2005, for the first time, they finally did get together and pray for the intercession of Blessed Mary Elizabeth. And this is what he says. When I was about to depart from Havana to Santa Clara with the child in a serious state accompanied by his parents, I received a call from the religious of the Order of the Most Holy Savior, St. Bridget, who implored me to make a stopover at their home. I explained that I was with a very sick child and I could not stop, even though they wanted me to be there just for a moment. Well, once I arrived in the convent of the Brigittines, I was the only one to get out of the car, whereas the parents of the child remained in the van with him, together with the seminarian and the driver who kept the vehicle engine idle with the air conditioning on for the child's relief. Sister Martin told me about the Blessed Mother Maria Isabel, whom I already knew of, and asked me if it was possible to beseech her intercession for the child and touch him with a bone relic of the Blessed. However, he said, I insisted that it should be short. We received the consent of his parents, and the sister and all recited the prayer of the Blessed, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be, and rubbed the bone relic on the child's body, then giving it for his parents to repeat the gesture. And then they went on their way. They went to Santa Clara. His parents had kept the bone relic with them that Sister Martin had handed over to them. And they claimed then that the healing of little Carlos Miguel, this is according to Mother Paula, began immediately after the imposition of the relic of Blessed Mary Elizabeth. During the trip, he started to move his limbs in a way that had been impossible for him to accomplish before. And then his mother recounted, quote, on the return trip, we prayed the rosary, and at a certain moment of the trip, I could see that the child bent the elbow of his little arm. I had the impression that everything was commencing to change positively, and this increased our faith and our hope. Soon the child could walk without assistance. He was able to get up and down stairs. He had no relapses. In a few days, he was fully recovered. At least his neurological and physical functions were fully recovered. The medical staff were blown away. For Mother Paula, the connection between the invocation of Blessed Mary Elizabeth and Carlos' healing was obvious. And, of course, who can blame her? The conjunction of those two events like that led to an inquiry and a decision that the healing was, in fact, miraculous. And this was undertaken by the Diocese of Santa Clara. And then the Medical Council, the Vatican's Congregation for the Causes of Saints, inspected it and recognized that the healing was swift, complete, and lasting and inexplicable in light of current medical science. Praise God.